heart, a broken heart. Psalm 34:18. Sometimes in life you'll get a broken heart. And by the way, I wonder where all the young people are at night. I see a few, but you know, seems like the young people only come on Sunday morning. And I'll tell you what, they're going to be a little bit less than you are when they grow up. So I guess people thought I was too. Matter of fact, a man told me one time, he said, "You're too hard on your kids." He said, "You take them to church too much and you make them all, put them all those activities and all that stuff." He said, "When they get older, they're going to turn against you and rebel." That's what he said. I said, "Well, if they do, they'll have known the truth while they were in it."
Amen.
I mean, and they didn't. Well, I had one kind of little while, but Becky didn't. Look at it. See that halo sprouting up over there? Amen. But let's get our kids in here. Let's get our grandkids in here. They need it. They need it worse than you do. See, you got it settled. You got it settled. Everything's settled with you. It ain't settled with them yet. And so let's get them in here, okay? Now, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. I've had a broken heart. You've had a broken heart. It seems like everybody wants to put a Band-Aid on it when you get one, you know, and they give you all kind of advice and they give you all kind of instructions, and you got doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists and grandmas and grandpas, and they all got special formulas how to heal your broken heart and all that stuff. But you know, our final authority is the Word of God.
Amen.
And you know, Grandma might have been a good woman, but she doesn't always know exactly what God's got in store for you.
Amen.
You better see what God's got in store. Amen.
Amen.
And so tonight I want to talk. But if you will, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen.
Amen.
We just park it right there. The Lord delivereth them out of them all. Every one of them. Every one of them. Would you agree with me that the Bible says that God heals a broken heart?
Yes.
Would you agree with me that the Christian is the one he's talking about?
Amen.
God doesn't heal the devil's children. God heals his children. And he's quick to do it. And he wants to do it. He desires to do it. He's seeking to do it. Turn to Psalm 73:26. I'm going to show you two kinds of broken hearts. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth. You ever felt like that?
Yes.
My flesh and my heart faileth. But God. Anytime you say that, you face to get a blessing. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, if I have a broken heart, God is where I'll get my strength. God is the one that's going to heal it. I can't do that. I don't have the strength to heal anybody's heart, not even my own. I preached that funeral today. I saw some brokenhearted people, and I really wanted to heal them. I really wanted to help them. I wanted those people to get that heart fixed. But only God can do that. And listen, he only, like I said before, he only heals the hearts of those who are his.
Yep.
Amen. We run around here, you know, we go see people in the hospital and on their deathbeds and everywhere, you know, and Christians are quick to quote Romans 8:28. And they'll say, "Well, you know, all things work together for the good." And they'll quit right there. They'll say, "Oh, all things work together for the good. It's going to get better." But they left off the rest of the verse. For the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything is not good. Everything is not always good. Now, everything will work out to the good of God's people.
Amen.
But God ain't, hey, he's not telling that to the lost world. He's telling that to the saved church. that those things are going to work out for our good because it gets him glory. See? We ought not go around quoting that to sinners. We're giving them a false idea that God is going to take care of them and they're not even his children. Now, God will have mercy on people. Don't get me wrong. He had mercy on me many times before I was saved. I should have died several times. You know, car wrecks and being around people that could have killed me and all this stuff. And God had mercy on me. But listen, God don't owe me nothing.
Amen.
And he saved me, and now he's promised to keep me and present me faultless. So I would say that God is the one that heals the heart. Now turn to Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Matthew 28, 29, Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's heart problem. You understand? Heavy laden. That's your heart. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, to a lost sinner, that doesn't mean much. But to the one that knows God as his Father and Jesus Christ as her Savior, that means a lot. He says, come unto me. You got a heavy burden? Bring it to me. If your heart's laden, bring it to me. And I will give you rest. Now, that's a promise. Don't we believe the Bible? I mean, all the Bible. We're not this crowd that cuts out verses and throws them away and writes a note down at the bottom says older, better manuscripts don't include this. If it's in the book, we believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, he said that he heals us and he heals a broken heart. Now, so if my heart's going to be mended, only God can do that. You know that old saying that a man that is his own lawyer is a fool?
Yes.
Well, a man that's his own doctor is a fool too. I mean, there's a lot of people trying to heal their broken heart with all kinds of things. Alcohol, drugs, bad living, partying, whatever they want to call it, people, everything but God. When he says that if they draw nigh to God, he draw nigh to them. But they're looking at in all the wrong places to get their heart fixed. Well, one of them thinks, well, if I can just get this boyfriend, he'll fix my heart. Another one says, if I can get this girlfriend, she can just fix my heart. Let me tell you something. They will not, matter of fact, people will break your heart.
Yeah, right.
They'll be more likely to break your heart than to fix your heart.
Right.
And so, Jesus Christ himself said, bring it to me. Bring it on here. I'll fix it if you bring it to me.
Amen.
And then I want you to look at Psalm 34:18. Now this is for believers. I'm gonna, that's all I'm talking about tonight. Psalm 34, we just read it. Verse 18. You back there yet?
Yes.
The Lord is nigh unto them. That means he's already there.
Right.
That are of a broken heart. He's already there waiting for you to invite him to help you.
Amen.
It's not like God's sitting off on a throne way off somewhere and he can't hear our prayers. You know, most Christians are like, do you remember Elijah up on the mountain and going against the prophets of Baal, you know, and he told him, you make a sacrifice, you cut it, you lay it out. I'll make a sacrifice, I'll cut it, lay it out. And then he covered it with water, more water, more water. And then he said, okay, y'all go first. Let's see whose God hears first. And those guys went out there and they started screaming and hollering and dancing around that sacrifice and whoop, 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 you know, you know. And, boy, they just kept on and kept on. And then when that didn't work, somebody broke out a knife and they started cutting each other, you know, started cutting, trying to draw blood. And maybe their God would do that. And Elijah started making fun of them. He said, maybe you're not hollering loud enough. Why don't you get louder? Maybe your God's asleep. You need to wake him up. He said, maybe he's away pursuing something else and he ain't got back yet. He started making fun of them. Amen. They say, you ain't supposed to make fun of other people's religion. Well, if they're dumb enough to dance around something and cut themselves, I can laugh at that. They make fun of mine. Amen. See, as far as we're concerned, the Bible says God is nigh. He's not a long way off. He's not a long way off. A whisper of prayer. That's all you have to do. Just one little prayer. Now look, sometimes some things you have to seek God a long time. You have to seek Him to find His will, but not in a broken heart. God doesn't want us to have a broken heart. God wants us to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Amen. And so therefore it says He is nigh unto them that have a broken heart. Even with lost people. I preached that funeral day and some of those people was lost, I'm sure. And God was right there. They had a broken heart. And God was right there ready to mend that heart if they would ask Him. And it wasn't like they had to run around the pulpit or jump up and down or cut a flip. All they had to do is call. And He'd answer. God's nigh unto them that have a broken heart. We don't have to work to get it fixed. We don't have to pay to get it fixed. We don't have to seek it and beg for it and plead for it. If He's nigh, that means He's waiting right there beside you. Yeah. Right there beside you. Turn to Psalm 147 verse 3. Psalm 147 verse 3. Now I'm talking about Christians with a broken heart. There are legitimate broken hearts. Loss of a loved one. A divorce, a tragedy, a disappointment, people let you down, all kinds of things. Legitimate broken hearts. We're not talking about that Hollywood kind, you know. We're talking about the real thing. And if you haven't had one, you will one day. If you live long enough, amen. By the way, you need to teach your children this so they don't run to the wrong people when they get their heart broke. Psalm 147 verse 3. It says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Not only does He heal it, He takes care of it. He bindeth it up. He ministers to that broken heart when He heals it. Yes. And binding something up, if you got a broken limb, you know, you bind it up, that's putting it back together, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. So He'll put our heart back together when it gets broken. Now He doesn't want us to have a broken heart. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Mm-hmm. He said, I came that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. And listen, He wept. He wept. He wept when Mary and Martha, He wept with Lazarus. When He saw them crying, you know what He did? The Bible says He wept because His friend had died and His family had a broken heart. Amen. So would you agree with me that God wants to heal our broken heart?
Yes.
Would you agree with me? We have not because we ask not.
Amen.
Amen. Now I want to talk to you about another kind of broken heart. Did you know that sometimes we, as Christians, we need a broken heart?
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes we need a broken heart to humble us. Yeah. God had to break Job's heart to humble him.
Yes.
People brag on Job, you know, his great faith. And he did have great faith. But if you go on, I think it's chapter 41. He confessed his sin of self-righteousness. And God had to break him to get him to confess his sin of unrighteousness. Now, don't get me wrong. You shouldn't go around judging everybody's tragedy of sin in their life. You don't know that. Yeah, you don't know that. And I've heard people do that. Well, you know the reason that kid turned out that way is because they were this way. Now, you don't know that. You don't do that. You don't know why they've been broken. I can tell you this. If they're a child of God, it'll turn out for His glory and they're good.
Amen.
Amen. But don't go blaming God on stuff. But sometimes we need a broken heart to humble us, to put us back where we ought to be. Amen. Now, but there is a good broken heart too. Did you know that Jesus was brokenhearted over sinners?
Mm-hmm.
Turn to Luke 14, 23. Luke 14, 23. Now, some of y'all starting to look like you're cold. I'm not turning that heat up. Somebody will get mad at me. Luke 14:23. Look at it with me. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Jesus wanted sinners to be saved.
Amen.
And Jesus has a heart for saving sinners.
Amen.
And the only way we're ever going to see sinners saved is we're going to have to get a broken heart over sinners.
Yes. Amen.
We're going to have to be broken hearted over people going to hell. And instead of looking at some gal and saying, that's sorry, such and such, such, what we ought to say is that's somebody's baby.
Amen.
That's somebody's mother. That's somebody's sister. That's somebody's wife. God help that woman and give me the words to say to her that God might rescue the perishing and care for the dying. And then Jesus went to the crowds. Jesus didn't withdraw into some kind of monastery. He went to the crowds. He went out where the people were. Amen. And he preached the good news that he was going to set up his kingdom. And not only him, but Paul went out into the crowds. And he preached the gospel to legalists and Pharisees and Sadducees and religious people. And then he went out into the Gentiles, the heathens, those that knew nothing about God. He went out to them too. Not only that, but Peter went to the people. He preached, hey, he led more people to Christ in one day than most of us ever see saved in our lifetime. Peter preached the greatest sermon in the New Testament there.
Amen.
And so therefore, God will have to break our heart over our sinful self and our sinful desires and our selfishness, and we're going to have a broken heart over sin, and that will make us love the sinner. Now, we don't love sin, but we'll love the sinner.
Amen. Yes.
They have something that's killing them. And it's like that, I don't remember the name, that movie, The Sixth Sense. That man asked him, said, what's wrong with you? He said, I see dead people. He said, but that ain't all. They don't know they're dead.
Right.
And he said, that ain't all. They want me to help them. Mm-hmm. Ephesians says, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin hath God quickened. Yes. You were dead and didn't even know it.
Amen.
You were dead. And until somebody got a burden for you,
yes,
you never wouldn't got saved.
Right.
God had to burden somebody's heart.
Yep.
He had laid on their heart. And listen, every time they thought about you, they thought about you going to hell. And they got a broken heart over it. And they wouldn't give up on you. And they wouldn't give up on you. And they wouldn't give up on you. Until finally that broken heart broke your heart. And you got saved. You accepted Christ.
Amen.
That big old preacher, I'd go down there and see him preach. Old Bully Falkenberry. Big old man. He had fingers like Jeffrey. And he'd stand up there and he'd preach against sin and he'd point those fingers at me, right at me, every time I went to that church. He was pointing just like, I felt like that. And boy, he'd preach against sin, but you know what he'd do? He'd have tears in his eyes when he did it. And that moved me. He'd come to my house and sit on my couch and beg me to come to Christ. That broke my heart. I could go listen to him preach. He didn't come over there and say, boy, you ought to go to hell. You ain't worth shooting. I already knew that. It's the love of God that brings us to repentance. It's the love of God that brings us to Christ. And he preached with tears in his eyes. That big old man with the nickname Bully, because he'd been a bully all his life. And he got saved. Now he's weeping and crying over sinners. And because his heart was broken, it moved my heart. When you see wickedness on every hand, and you know these people won't have any peace until the Prince of Peace gets hold to them.
Right.
It'll break our heart. We need to keep ourselves clean through the Word of God.
Yes.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. But we do that not to be better than anybody else, but so that we can see what sin is. And if we see what it does to us, certainly we'll see what it does to others and we'll care more about them.
Yes.
It'll make you move with compassion. I read this little two-line poem a long time ago. I love it. We got to remember this every day. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last.
Amen.
In Jude 22, he says, having compassion on some, making a difference.
Yes.
You see, if our heart's not moved,
amen,
and if our heart's not broken over people going to hell, why would anybody think what we have is real?
Come on, brother. Yeah.
My mama, God bless her, rode a church van to church every Sunday. I think Jerry rode with her half the time. Nobody from that church ever walked in the house and visited me and my brother Donnie. I know we were mean. We were hateful. But boy, if somebody had come in there when I was 15 years old with tears in their eyes and said, boy, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be like this. That would have moved me.
Yes.
Instead, every once in a while, I'd run up on one that had a hard heart, not a broken heart, and they'd point their old finger right in my face and say, boy, if you don't quit drinking that stuff, you won't go to hell. You don't quit running around with that crowd, you're going to hell. Well, I knew if there was a hell, I was going to hell. I needed to see somebody that cared enough to keep me out of hell.
Yeah. Amen.
We want to remember that every day. There's six reasons why compassion makes a difference. Number one, God is interested in your tears.
Yeah, yeah.
Our tears move the heart of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Number two, it shows we believe in hell. How can we say we believe in the eternal, everlasting, burning hell and lake of fire and torment forever and ever and ever, and that not move us to compassion and break our heart for sinners going to hell? Jesus had a reputation of being the friend of sinners. That didn't mean he okayed what they did. That didn't mean that he participated in what they did. But he was friendly to sinners. And if you love somebody, you'll be friendly to them.
That's right. Yes.
We're no better than anybody else. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God, kept by the grace of God, blessed by the grace of God, led by the grace of God, comforted by the grace of God, and we ought to be empowered by the grace of God through His Holy Spirit to have compassion on people and let God break our heart.
Amen.
It shows that we believe judgment's coming. I got to be careful how I say this. How can we say believe that judgment's coming and we don't even win our own family to Christ? Do we think that they get a free pass because we're saved? If we'd look at our family members and look at them as people headed to a devil's hell without any help and any hope and no way out without Jesus Christ, we would do whatever it took to keep them out of hell. We would beg, we would plead, we would weep, we would cry. I remember it wasn't long after I got saved. We used to go to my mama's house every Christmas. I always wanted my children to know their grandmother, and we'd go down there just about every weekend, but especially on Christmas. And around Christmas time, Mama would fix meals, you know, and people would come, all family members. And we went down there, and my brother Larry was there, and my brother Bill was there. Bill's been an alcoholic since he was a teenager. His daddy, who died at 45, drank himself to death. And Bill would have done it several times except by the grace of God. I've seen him go into DTs, delirium tremors, and have hallucinations and drink rubbing alcohol trying to get relief. And Bill was a drinker. I love Bill. Bill was good to me. And after I got saved, I wanted all my brothers saved. And we were down there at Christmas, and you know what sinners do at Christmas? They drink. And Mama didn't like that. She didn't allow that at her house. Amen. And Mama, Bill would go in and out with that little red cup, and Mama told me, she said, I think Bill's got something to drink in his car. He'd go in the kitchen, come back through with a cup, and he'd go out there, give him a drink, bring it in, walk around, drink that up. So the next time he went out, I followed him. Now you gotta remember, he was, I think, 19 years older than me. And I followed him out in his car, he popped that trunk, he didn't, and as I was come walking up, he was pouring that liquor. My brother Larry was following me. Now Larry was not a drinker, and he was self-righteous about that. And I reached over in front of Bill and I grabbed that bottle. I took it, I poured it on the ground. He got tears in his eyes and he said, if you was anybody else, if you was him, my other brother, I'd stomp you right now. He said, but I know you love me. Amen. And that's why you did that.
Amen. Amen.
I started crying. I said, Bill, I want you to get saved. He said, I've been thinking about it. I said, can we go in the house and talk about it? He said, yeah, he wasn't real drunk. Went in, sat down, he and I and Larry claimed to have been saved in church and all this stuff. And I began to witness to him and read him scripture. And he said, I already know that. And I'd read him another. And he said, I already know that. And I'd read him another. He'd say, I already know that. I said, how do you know this? He said, I've been going to church. He said, I've been going to Box Mountain Baptist Church up above Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's where he lived. And he said, this preacher come through one Sunday. His name was something Jack Howells, and he preached on salvation. This other preacher was Tom Malone. I think that was his name. And he named all these famous preachers. He's been my hero ever since I've been saved. He'd heard them all. I said, Bill, why haven't you gotten saved? He said, I can't quit drinking. I said, Bill, if you'll get saved, he'll quit your drinking.
Amen.
I prayed with him, and I don't know how much later it was, maybe a year or 6 months. He called me and told me he'd gotten saved. And he came to my church. And he walked out and I told everybody, this is my brother Bill. He got saved. He was then 50 something years old. And he gave me this little cassette tape. I said, what is this, Bill? He said, this is the sounds of the delivery room. I said, what? He said, just take it home and listen to it. I took it home and listened to it. And it was a copy of the service where he got saved.
Amen.
And you could hear him down at the altar praying out loud to be saved. He was getting born again. It was delivery room. Amen. He didn't get convicted because I was smarter than him. Bill couldn't even read or write. Couldn't even write his name. He signed his name with an X. He quit school in third grade and started painting with his daddy and became a drunk. But you know what he did after he got saved? He got where he could read a little bit of Bible.
Oh,
yeah, he did. He got where he could read a little bit of Bible.
He loved handing out tracts.
Everywhere he went, he started handing out gospel tracts. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise God.
But he didn't get saved because I'm more educated or smarter or more articulate or something. He got saved because he saw that there were some people that loved him enough to weep over him.
Amen.
It shows we believe in coming judgment. Tears will move lost people. It shows that we're more like Christ.
Amen.
Now you can't tell me Jesus, hey, you can't tell me Jesus looked at a lost generation and didn't weep over them. I know he did, and I read it. I think our churches are so busy trying to get people to be happy that they've forgotten that happy don't always work. I'm not happy that people are going to hell.
Amen.
I'm not happy that some people I love are going to hell.
Amen.
My heart breaks over that. I've had sleepless nights over that. Wept and cried.
Yes.
Let me tell you, what's wrong with our churches today is they've gone dried. They've gotten dried. They've lost their compassion. They've become businesses raising money and building kingdoms and all this stuff, getting reputations. We need to get back to the old-fashioned, broken-hearted Christianity, weeping and crying over sinners that's going to a devil's hell, never to come back.
Amen.
I believe if they saw us do that, I know if they saw us do that, it'll work. Psalm 126:6, and I'm through. Psalm 126:6. Well, we'll start with verse 5. Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Amen.
There's your healing of that broken heart. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again,
yes,
with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Yes.
What do you think we mean by the song, bringing in the sheaves?
Right.
We don't mean go out in the farm and get them. We mean go out into the world and get lost sinners. If we'll go out weeping, we will come again bringing people with us to be saved. Let me tell you something. Tears will move a hard sinner.
Amen.
Brother Allen, I preached out that chain gang when it used to be the chain gang. You remember when we used to have a chain gang?
Yeah.
That old metal building out there, the window, cement block building, and you had to push the windows out. They didn't have air conditioning. You had to push the windows out on cement floor. All that stuff. They still worked on the sides of the road and stuff. And I'd go out there and preach as a boy preacher, and I didn't know hardly any Bible at all. But when I'd preach, I'd weep and I'd say, please don't go to hell. Please come to Jesus. Please don't die and be judged by a holy God when you don't have to be. You can get your judgment settled right here today. And I'd see big old hardened sinners grab the back of those seats and squeeze them, and tears roll down their face, and some of them get saved. Go down there to Chester County Jail. They put me in that little old slot. It was about this wide, had bars right here. And they were over there and I was over here. And they couldn't get to me. And I'd go in there, and in that cell block, they'd be about what's supposed to be but 12 men. Sometimes they'd be 30 sleeping on the floor and everything else. And I'd go in there and I'd turn the TV was out there where I could turn it off. And I'd turn that TV off and they'd get mad at me. And they'd say, hey, we got rights. You can't do that. I'd say, you ain't got no rights. You're in jail. We having church. And we'd have church and I'd preach hell is hot and heaven sweet and weep and cry. And some of those old hardened sinners get saved in there. They do it. I remember I went in there one time to open my Bible and had these four hecklers at the back, big old men. And they actually heckled me. They'd make fun of me. And I'd go in, I'd tell them who I was, what I was doing there, you know, and some of them come line up at the bars, and some of them just hang back, and these guys way back at the back, and I'd take up prayer requests. I'd say, y'all want me to pray for somebody? So they'd give me their names, people, and I'd pray for them. I'd say, now let's read the Bible. And I'd open the Bible and start preaching. And those guys started making fun of me. They'd taunt me. They'd laugh at me. They'd laugh at the way I said something or what I said. They'd mock me and say it back to me. And these other guys up in front, they'd turn around and say, shut up! This is a preacher preaching! And I'd say, leave them alone. God'll take care of them. I preach children's church. I can out-preach them. I preached at nursing home. I can out preach those four. Amen. Amen. I preached at the county poorhouse. People walking through there taking their clothes off. I can preach over. I can out preach them. I can do it. And I kept getting louder and they kept getting louder and I kept getting louder. And by the time I got through, I was weeping and crying. And I said, anybody want to bow your head, close your eyes. Anybody want to be saved? You want me to pray before you get saved? Raise your hand. I looked back there and three out of the four was the first ones to raise their hand. And they got saved. They said a sinner's prayer. I think we had about 12 that night get saved. Go over here to the Army Reserve. I used to preach over there when I was a young preacher. And I'd go in the Army Reserve once a month. The Rochesters would sing. Some of y'all know the Rochesters. You don't know the original Rochester. You know their children. And they'd go in there and play those banjos and bluegrass gospel. And then I'd get up and I'd read a verse and holler and read a verse and holler and cry and pray and holler and read and holler and cry and pray. And those big old men, big military men, I told them one day, I said, listen, before we pray, I want to say this. You guys been trained to kill people. Some of you's already been in war. You've done it. I said, now, you're pretty hard men. You're pretty tough guys. I said, but I'm going to ask you to do something that'll take more guts than to kill a man.
Right.
I'm going to ask you to publicly accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
Bow your head and close your eyes. And they did. I said, now, this is going to be hard. But if you'll do it, he'll do it. Pray this prayer. And I told him that to repent and pray and ask the Lord to save him. And then when I got through, I said, now, how many of you did that? Head still bowed, eyes closed. I said, how many of y'all did that? And about 10 or 12 of them raised their hand. I said, thank God. Amen. I said, but now everybody else looked this way. Everybody looked that way. I said, now I'm going to ask you guys that raised your hand to do something that's going to be harder than shooting a man. I said, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the angels which are in heaven. You can't be a believer and be ashamed of it. So I'm going to ask you to do the hardest thing you ever did in your life. Stand up right now if you prayed that prayer with me. Didn't nobody move for a few seconds. Then all of a sudden this big black man jumped up over there crying. And then this one over here saw him crying. He jumped up crying. Then another one jumped up. Another one jumped up. Another one jumped up. Another one jumped up. And I think it's 12 of them in the end accepted Christ as their Savior. And not ashamed to weep. Big old army men. Not ashamed to weep. They wept. And that moved to others, I'm sure.
Amen.
But that's where our church needs to get to.
That's right. Amen.
That's where we need to be. We need to be. Now the year, New Year's coming up. I got plans. We're going to get back to work weeping for sinners.
Amen.
We're going to get back to work reaching sinners. We're going to go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And it ain't going to be an easy job. Me and Brother Allen's done that many times. Right, Brother Allen? And it ain't always fun. But it's always rewarding. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. I've been out knocking on doors, and I still do it. Not much as I used to. I don't have the help at it I used to. But I guarantee you, this morning we had, what, 10 visitors this morning? 8 or 10 visitors. Now, if I hadn't been out visiting all week, that wouldn't happen. God will reward your visiting.
Yes.
God will reward your soul with it. You may not win the person you're going after or the one you got a burden on, but if you'll get a burden, get a broken heart, God will send you reward by winning somebody else and sending them this way.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. So let's get a broken heart. Now I know I don't want a tragedy. I don't want a funeral. I don't want a hospital room. I don't want somebody to hurt, but I want my heart broken over sinners.
Amen. Yes.
Today I had that funeral and my heart got broke. It was quiet. It was very quiet. I don't usually preach funerals like that. And it's that quiet. And I left brokenhearted. Now God will reward us when we do that. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Yes.
Well, preacher, I'm afraid. Well, nobody likes to hurt. But you ever notice, you ever got mad at your husband? I know you have. You don't have to answer. I know it. Y'all get mad at each other. You don't talk 2 or 3 days. You know, he's got a sign up in his house. When his mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But then you make up. And the making up is so good. Amen? Amen. Seems like after a fuss, it's better. Amen. To make up. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You'll figure it out one day. Amen. Amen. And same way, look, I don't want to hurt. I don't want a broken heart. But if he breaks it, it'll help me. And when the hurt's over, it'll inspire me to move more. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, getting a broken heart over situations. I'm talking about sinners. The only reason more people are not saved in any church is there's not enough broken hearts for sinners. Everybody in this room's got somebody they loved. If they died today, they would not go to heaven. Your heart ought to be broken over that. And if you can't do nothing about it, you'll try to get somebody else to do something for you about it. So you might could visit somebody I love that won't listen to me, and I might could visit somebody you love that won't listen to you. I hope God's healed every heart you've ever had broken over situations and sickness and things like that. But I pray that God will break our heart for sinners here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. We're having a good time. Lord bless us. But this is our missing part. Let's stand.